But then you compare this drunkard and this whoremonger, you compare him with a man who goes to church every now and then, and he tries not to cuss. He tries not to do smoke, drink, or whoremonger around, or things. He tries not to do this. Well, these two men have a differently, morally speaking, they're differently as far as sin. There's a difference in these two, of course, in the degrees of sin, but there's no difference in the fact of sin. Differences in degree of sin. He's going to be judged for what he has said and done, and he is going to be a judge for not accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. God looks for holiness in a man. He looks for perfection in a man, sinless perfection, and this only comes in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Although both of these men are lost, they come short of what God requires, and this is perfect holiness, or perfection, and Jesus Christ is the perfect one and the holy one, and they both fall short. They're both sinners. They both fall short because they have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior. Although one is morally sinfully more sinful than the other, they both fall short of what God requires. They both are going to go into a lake of fire if they do not repent and look to God. Now, look over in Romans, the 3rd chapter, and the 22nd and the 23rd verses. Romans 3:22 and 23. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says here that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if we go back and get the definition of sin, sin is a transgression, or it's an overstepping of the law, or you may say it's a missing of the mark. Sin is sin, and sin must be dealt with, and it must be paid for. And Christ is our sin offering. He paid it all. He was the one that went to the cross and died for it. Even as the sacrifice was without sin, Jesus Christ was without sin, was without blemish. So he was the one that paid our sin debt. If you owed someone a debt, and you couldn't pay this debt, and I could pay it, then I myself first must be free of debt before I could pay your debt. See, if you owed someone $1,000 and you couldn't pay your debt, and they were going to come take everything you had, and if I had no debts and I had $1,000 to spare, I could give it to you and your debt's paid. It's the same thing with the Lord Jesus Christ. You couldn't pay your sin debt. You couldn't go to the cross yourself and pay it. You had to have someone to pay it for you. And Jesus Christ stepped forward and said, I'll do it. I'll pay it for him. And we accept it by faith, knowing that Jesus Christ did go to the cross and die for us. Then again, like as we said there, if someone was to meet the penalty of death for you as a sinner, then you must be free from the penalty of sin yourself. And Jesus Christ, you can search the world over, and there's no one that can pay your sin debt. You have to look to God, have to look to Jesus Christ, as he stepped forward and offered himself as your sin offering, as your substitute. He offered to pay the debt that you owe. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, and the 25th verse, or 21st verse says, he hath made him to be sin for us. Jesus Christ was made sin for us. 1 Peter 3:18 says, for Christ also has once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust. So Christ was the just one. He was the righteous one. And he died for the unjust or the unrighteous, which are you and I as we were in our sins. Now, back in Leviticus, the 4th chapter, in the 6th verse here. And the priest shall dip his finger in the blood and sprinkle of the blood 7 times before the Lord, before the veil of the sanctuary. Now, what was the priest doing here? I believe that the priest would take the blood and he would go inside the holy place. He did not go into the Holy of Holies where God's throne was and where God's presence was, but he would go into the holy place and he would stop before the veil, which was split in twain from top to bottom when Jesus Christ died. He would go in there and he would dip his finger in the blood and he would sprinkle it 7 times before the Lord up here upon the veil or somewhere around about the veil. And then again, he would take some of the blood and he would put it up on the horns of the altar. And as you remember, the altar of incense talks about prayers of God's saints. how the way of communication or the way of fellowship or the way of speaking to God was open. And he would take in these horns, which represent pyre. He would take his finger and dip blood on each horn. And then again, I believe that this talks about the way of communing with God or talking to God was open to this man who had offered the sacrifice. The way of speaking to God was directly open, and it comes through blood. You've always got to have this blood applied every time that you you can't go to God unless you have the blood applied to your life. I believe with this, as he sprinkled this seven times before the veil there, that the number seven is completeness or fullness. And I believe it in this, that God was completely satisfied in full of the blood that was being offered from that sacrifice. I believe God was well pleased with this blood because the offerer or the man who brought the sin offering and before the Lord, he offered it up in faith, he offered it up in love, and this blood was applied. And I believe that now that the way of communing with God by the blood was open where this man could pray unto God. I believe again that this talks that God was completely satisfied with that, and that the blood perfectly cleanses from sin. So you and I know that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. The blood is what cleanses. There's power in the blood. The blood keeps us eternally clean. As we said, that some of the blood was put upon the horns of the altar. Probably speaking of how the blood had been applied before God and how the way of communing with God was open. The rest of the blood, what was left, they had it in some kind of a basin or something. And I believe that this was taken outside and poured at the bottom of the altar. In verse 7 there, it says, "And the priest shall put some of the blood upon the horns of the altar of sweet incense before the Lord, which is in the tabernacle of the congregation, and shall pour all of the blood of the bullock at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering." So I believe that this talks about Jesus Christ, how he hung upon the cross of Calvary. And I believe that his blood went to the ground below at the foot of the cross, because this altar typifies the cross. And the priest would go back to the altar and pour the blood at the bottom of the cross, or at the bottom of the altar. And I believe that this talks about how Jesus Christ's blood was shed to the ground below. in Luke, the 24th chapter, and the 39th verse. Luke 24:39. We can see Jesus Christ here as he appeared unto his disciples and the apostles. And he says, "Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as you see me have." Jesus Christ didn't say a spirit had flesh and blood. He said flesh and bones. He didn't have any blood because his blood had been poured out there on the cross of Calvary. Jesus Christ said that he was not a spirit. He had flesh and he had bones. He had no blood. He had poured it all out there for sin. He had poured it out because he was the actual sin offering. All other sin offerings were shadows and things of things to come. But Jesus Christ was the actual, and he was the true sin offering. All the shadows were fulfilled on the cross. Christ fulfilled all laws and all ordinances, and he fulfilled all shadows of things to come. Jesus Christ, the bullock was killed, and the priest went into the holy place. He went before the veil at the altar of incense, and there at the golden altar, or the altar of prayers of the saints, he would sprinkle the blood before the Lord. And he would return to the altar, and there he would pour out the blood. And then again, this talks about Jesus Christ as he had died upon the cross and as he ascended unto his Father with his own blood. Then he returned unto his disciples and he showed himself. There was no blood because all of his blood had been poured out at the bottom of the altar. Then he ascended back into heaven, but then again he left his word with us. You and I have his word that he will come again and take us to be with him where he is in heaven in the New Jerusalem when it comes down. In Luke, the 16th chapter, in the 19th and 20th verses, Luke 16:19-20. Well, I went over this, but I still got the wrong verse of Scripture. But talks about the Word of the Lord, how I believe the Word is still here today, and it's still working, and it's still saving, and it will continue to do so until the end of time. Back in Leviticus, the 4th chapter, and the 8th and the 10th verses there, talking about the fat and the inwards of the kidneys, how everything there was burned up on the altar. I believe this talks about the inward emotions of the Lord Jesus Christ, how even his insides were probably bursted, and how he gave his all in all. Christ suffered throughout his own body, not only his outward appearance, but I think even his insides, where he suffered over 100% of his body for sins. Isaiah 53:12 says he poured out his soul unto death. In Leviticus, back in the 4th chapter, the victim must be taken outside the camp, and it must be burned into ashes. They took Jesus Christ outside of Jerusalem, and there they took Jesus to a place called Calvary, and they put him upon a Roman cross. And there the fire of God, or the wrath of God, fell upon him from heaven, because he was dying for sins. In Lamentations, the 1st chapter, the 13th verse, he says, "From above hath he sent fire into my bones." In Psalms 88:7, "Thy wrath lieth hard upon me." In Psalms 88:16, "Thy fierce wrath goeth over me. Thy terrors have cut me off." In Psalms 39:10, "I am consumed by the blow of thine hand." Talking about Jesus Christ as he suffered upon the cross. The wrath of God fell upon Christ that day, and I believe that Jesus Christ took all that wrath from me. And he took it for you if you're saved by the grace of God, because I have accepted Jesus Christ as my sin offer, as my own personal substitute. The blood was within the veil, and the sacrifice had been accepted. The ashes were outside the camp, and I believe this talks about how atonement had been made. The ashes outside the camp had been carried away by the wind, and I believe this talks again about how our sins are gone, as the ashes from the altar was taken outside the camp and laid in a clean, dry place, and the wind just took them and blew them away. I believe this talks about how Christ died for sin. Our sin was upon him, and all sin has vanished from the presence of God. In Hebrews, the 10th chapter, it says, "Their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." Christ went outside the camp, and our sins were consumed to ashes on his cross. Christ within the veil, his blood testifying to our sins consumed. Christ outside the camp, he was dead for us. Inside the veil, he is alive for us. Outside, he is our suffering substitute, and inside, he is our living priest. Salvation has been secured. This is a teaching of the sin offering. I went through it fast because I wanted to try to get it all in, because I want to try to get in the trespass offering week after next. But you can see that Jesus Christ was the actual sin offering. All shadows and types that we are teaching here back in Leviticus, they are just things of then. But they have been fulfilled. Jesus Christ was the actual sin offerings. Hebrews said that he was not satisfied with the sacrifice of blood of bulls and goats, because Jesus Christ has already came and paid the sin debt. So you and I have eternal pardon today, and we have eternal redemption through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I can say thankful in my heart today that I'm glad that Christ died for me. And I'm glad to know that my name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life throughout it from eternity to eternity. I believe that with all my heart, because God said it was so, and I'm going to believe it as such until I find out otherwise, or otherwise he tells me in his word that he didn't do so. But I believe it. I believe my name was written there before, back in the councils of eternity, where Christ put it there. Then he called me out of darkness and saved me by his grace, and offered himself as my sin offering. He made peace by the blood of his cross, because I was a sinful sinner, and he was a loving God, and he was going to pour out his wrath on me one day. And I looked to him in faith, and I took him as my peace offering and as my sin offering. And he didn't make peace between me and my God. And I can say that today, that I have peace between myself and God. That was only because of the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's a sin offering. And that's where next week, or a week after next, we'll take up a trespass offering. And that will probably, no doubt, end up the teaching of the tabernacle, unless the Lord sees otherwise to maybe do something else. I'm not sure. Then if we don't, we'll hand it back to Brother Al, and he can teach whatever he may. So let's be dismissed. Our Father who art in heaven, Lord, as we come before thy throne of grace, Lord, become thankful with thankful hearts And knowing, Lord, that you are our sin offering, that you did go to the cross of Calvary, and there, Lord, you died as our substitute, and we look to you in faith and accept it, having the blood applied to our lives. And Lord, we're thankful for the knowledge you have given us of this, and Lord, we pray that you may stir our hearts, and we may continually, day to day, remember in our hearts and know that Jesus Christ took our wrath and he took our punishment there upon the cross. Lord, we're thankful for your teaching. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth that lies within. Thank you, Lord, for our church and the truth it stands for. Lord, we pray tonight that even as the message goes forth, that you may give our pastor power, give him liberty from on high, that he may speak with boldness. Save the lost to be here this night, being according to your will. Lord, we will ask that will watch over us and keep us and forgive us of our many sins. In Jesus' name we pray and for his sake. Amen. And the first 10 verses, we won't read all of the 2019 verses because it just goes into some of the things we've already been teaching in the other sacrifices. But in the first 10 verses, and if a soul sin and hear the voice of an oath, or the word there is a swearing, and is a witness whether he has seen it or known of it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. Or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of an unclean cattle, or the carcass of an unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it is within a man shall be defiled, and it be hidden from him. When he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. Or if a soul make an oath or swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it is that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hidden from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these things, or in one of these. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for a sin which he has sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb, or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. And if he be not able to bring a lamb, and he shall bring his for his trespass, which he hath committed, two turtle doves, or two young pigeons unto the Lord, one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering. And he shall bring them unto the priest, who shall offer that which is for the sin offering first, and wring off its head from its neck, but shall not divide it asunder. And he shall sprinkle of the blood of the sin offering upon the side of the altar, and the rest of the blood shall he wring out at the bottom of the altar. It is a sin offering. And he shall offer the second for a burnt offering according to the custom or the manner. And the priest shall make an atonement for him for his sin, which he has sinned, and it shall be forgiven him. So then it goes on down through the next few verses and tell him, I believe that, or if he not be able to bring two young pigeons, he shall bring a tenth part of an ephah or flour or an omer. This was for the poorest of the poor who could not afford to bring a sacrifice. If he could not bring a lamb, he would bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, and there he would offer them up, one for a burnt offering and the other for a sin offering. In the trespass offering, we have Christ making provision in his death for our failures. He receives our confessions and brings us absolute and complete forgiveness and cleansing. So we have Christ making provision on the cross of Calvary. When you and I fail and sin against him, Christ provided, or he made room at the cross for you and I when we sin. Now, we can go over to 1 John and a few verses of here. 1 John, the first chapter, and the 8th and the 9th verses. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So we make ourselves a liar if we say we don't have any sin. And the Bible says that we have no truth. There is no truth within us if we say we do not sin. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confess means to admit or acknowledge a fault. And you go back into the Webster and see what he defines confess as. And he says it's to tell one's sins to a priest. Now, if you were a lost individual and somebody told you about confession, if you looked at Webster's Dictionary and it said go tell it to a priest, and more than likely you would, first thing you would think about would be a Catholic priest. Go to confess your sins to him. But you and I are no different, because we have Jesus Christ as our great high priest. He is in heaven today making intercession for you and I, and we are to confess our faults to him through to God. They go through Jesus Christ to God. So we are to confess to Jesus Christ. Back in Proverbs, the 28th chapter, in the 13th verse, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So the Bible says if you confess your sins, or if you cover your sins, you're not going to prosper. Now, you go look at David. He tried to cover his sins, and he didn't prosper. He fell out of fellowship with God. Communion with God was broken. The ties and the bonds of love between David and God were broken because he had sinned against God. But the Bible also says that whosoever confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So if you confess your sin to God, he is going to show mercy upon you. Look back in Psalms, the 32nd chapter, and listen to what David had to say in verses 3 and 5. When he had sinned, I believe this is when he had sinned probably against with Bathsheba, when he talks about the blessedness of forgiveness, the 32nd chapter. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no gall. Now listen to what David says. When I kept silent, my bones waxed old, or my bones became old through my roaring all the day long. For night and day thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. So David here, Bible says that God is faithful and he's just and he is a righteous God. And I believe here that 1 John, the second chapter, says, I write unto you, little children, because your sins are forgiven you for your name's sake. So our sins are forgiven us for Christ's name's sake. So if we sin, we need to come before Christ and we need to confess them. And Christ is able and just to forgive. The bonds of fellowship and the closeness to God is restored, and we're brought back and to closeness with him. But what if we don't confess our sins after we know that we have sinned? David there said in that third verse, when I kept silent, my bones waxed old. David says, when I kept silent, I groaned all the day long. I think that David was probably, more than less, he was tormented, and sin bothered him, and he was disturbed in his heart because he kept silent because of the sin of which he had committed. And if we have sin in our life and we don't confess it unto God, then it's going to torment us. And this is what it's what the Spirit does within us. It causes the inner man to groan, become weary, become heavy. He said his bones waxed old. And I believe that this happens to you and I, because the Bible says there in the fourth verse, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Now that word Selah, and Brother Alice said many times, says just stop. Just think of that. Stop and think of what David said. He says, I did not acknowledge my sin. I did not confess my sin. Now just stop and think of that for a minute. Now what happened to me? My bones became old. My bones inside of me, they waxed old, and I lost fellowship and communion with God. Just stop and think of that. Now how do I get my fellowship restored back to God? Well, go on down to the fifth verse. He says, I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Here is David confessing his sin unto God. And mine iniquity have I not hidden. I say it, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Selah. Now stop and think of that. See? David said there in the fourth verse that God's hand was upon him. He was tormented. Now just think of that. What happens to a child of God when he is out of the will of God? God's hand is upon him and he's tormented. And David says, just stop and think of that. But then again, God, David went back to God. He acknowledged his transgression. Fellowship was restored with God. And they said, Selah, just think of that. Now I'm back in fellowship with God. That's all it is confession. It's all we have to do is to just come before God. And this is what the trespass offering speaks of, I believe, is confession and acknowledging our sins under the Lord Jesus Christ. So in the sin offering, we have a sacrifice for the nature of sin, which came from Adam. We have the Adamic sin, which is, I believe, the body or the flesh. And in the trespass offering, you have a sacrifice for the sins of nature. In the nature of sin, he is dealing with the root of sin, or he is dealing with the flesh or the body. And in the sins of nature, he is dealing with the fruit of sin. So we can take this body, and of course sin is in it, but when we produce sin, or when we fulfill the lust or the desires of the flesh, when the fruit of the sin is born forth, Christ died for that too. Not only did he die with the roots of sin, which come from down in a man, he died for the fruits of sin. When the roots have progressed and conceived, and we go on and do the sin which we have thought to do, Christ not only died for the roots of sin, he died for the fruits of sin also. So he died for the sins of nature and the nature of sins. The blood of Jesus Christ not only meets the root of sin, or sin in the flesh, it meets and provides for the fruit of sin, or the sin produced by the nature of sin in us. After a person is saved, the first thing he learns is the nature of sin is still in him. No doubt that a lot of people think right after they're saved that all their sin are gone. They're not going to sin anymore. And this is when they have to come back to God's Word and through the teaching and preaching of the pastor to learn that we still have sin in us. Our body is the root of sin. Our evil thoughts come forth from our heart. And when these evil thoughts conceive and bring forth the lust or the desires of the flesh, and this is the fruit of sin. And so Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ is powerful, and it cleanses and keeps on cleansing day by day from the sins that you and I commit. But you and I, after we sin, if we want the closeness to the Lord, then we must confess our sin because Christ commands us to. Provision for this has been set forth in the trespass offering. Leviticus, the 5th chapter, in the 5th verse. Leviticus 5:5. And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. So we must go before the Lord, and we must confess our sins, and we must confess our trespasses against us. 1 John, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not, and if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for the sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. So John says, my little children, if you sin, then we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is making propitiation for you and I there at the right hand of God. So any Christian can sin. And because of the old nature within him is the reason why we can sin. The old nature is not taken away. God put the Spirit of God there in our heart to combat this old nature. And there's constantly a war going on. There's constantly a fight going on. The Bible says that the old nature is as at enmity with God. And indeed, it's not subject to the law of God. And neither indeed can be. So where the new nature is holy and sinless, it cannot sin and is against the old nature. And I myself know that some of the greatest battles that ever been fought in my lifetime, and if you're a saved individual, some of the greatest battles that ever been fought in this world go on within inside of your heart, or go with on inside of your body. It's the Spirit of God fighting daily with the flesh. And there's always a constant battle going on there. And I have to say that sometimes the old flesh wins. And sometimes the desires of the flesh, they win over the Spirit of God. But this is when we fall out of communion with God. And our fellowship begins to just draw away a little. When we conceive the lust of the flesh, and we let this old human nature just take rule of our life. And we see so many Christians today, this is why they become cold and indifferent. because they let this body, old body, the sins of the flesh, just take them on out away from God. And all God, all the devil needs to do is just take one little bite of your finger. And if you don't cleanse that one little bite, and if you don't come back to God and try to get a little bit closer to Him, when you see the devil nibbling on you, if you don't try to get a little closer, the first thing he's going to do is he's going to take that finger. And then he's going to take the hand. And you're going to keep getting further and further away from God. And before you know it, you're back out in the world doing the wills of the Satan and doing the will of the devil. But when the devil begins to nibble and when he begins to tempt you, then this is when you need to come back and jump into the Word of God and say, Lord, no. Of course, that spirit within you is striving against the enmity of the flesh and trying to get you to come back unto God and to serve Him. But this is like the laborers we taught. You need to go back and you need to dive into the Word of God. And this is what cleanses you from all daily defilement. This takes the dirt off of you, and this makes you see your sin in yourself, and you can have that complete fellowship with God restored into you. As we said, that the Christian has two natures. Jesus Christ has two natures, but the Christian is not two persons. He is one person with one responsibility, and I believe this responsibility is for us to live for God and to serve Him and go on and do what He asks us to do. He can sin or he can resist sin, and he can live in the region of the flesh or he can live in the realm of the Spirit. And this is, we need to put that old flesh down, mortify the deeds of the law, of the Bible. It's what Romans says, I believe it is. So if you stumble in sin, you lose communion and fellowship with God. And to be restored with this sweet fellowship, you must confess your sin, come to God and confess Him. And the Bible says He is able and just to forgive those that are coming to Him. Unconfessed sin becomes a canker in the heart. Confession brings it out and puts it in the light, and it makes that old dirty sin shy. It cleanses that old dirty sin and makes it show where it can come forth. Peter sinned against God, and he denied Him three times. He says, I know not the man. And then again he said, woman, I know not the man. And then again he went on and he cursed, and he began to swear and says, I know not him. He says, Peter even cursed the Lord. And I believe it here that Peter sort of lost fellowship with the Lord. Fellowship was sort of broken away from there when Peter denied Him. Because if you deny the one who saved you, and the one who give yourself for Him, fellowship is definitely got to be broken, because He did not save you to walk in the world and the deeds of the world. I believe that the Bible teaches us that after Peter had denied the Lord Jesus Christ, that he was grieved and his body troubled him. And the Bible says he began to weep, or he wept. And then in Luke, the 22nd chapter, in the 61st verse, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how He had said unto him, before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now, when we sin against God, I believe that God stirs that spirit within our heart, and He looks upon us when we sin. And I believe that He stirs our spirit within our heart, causes us to remember. He told Peter there, and when he said that, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Now, the Lord had told Peter, says, Peter says, before the cock crows twice, says, you're going to deny me thrice. And this came to pass, exactly what the Lord had told Peter there. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord when he sinned against Him. And I believe that when you and I sin against God, that spirit within us says, Bobby said, you've sinned against God. You have sinned. I remember right after I was first saved, I was saved on a Sunday morning. And to show you how fast the old devil works, I believe it was Sunday night. I went to bed that night and I had a dream. And I'm not much of a dreamer. But as in the dream, my wife and I were sitting there at den. And I got up out of my den to go in the kitchen, and I stumbled as I went across a little old step we have there. And I remember using the Lord's name in vain. I remember this in my dream just like it was yesterday. And just as soon as I had used the Lord's name in vain in my dream, something stopped me and said, now, Bobby, you sinned against God. Now confess Him. Confess it. I don't know whether this was the Lord or not. It very possibly could be. And telling me that, Bobby, I know you're going to sin, but when you sin, ask for forgiveness of this sin. And very possibly it could have been the Lord telling me to Bobby that he knows that I'm going to sin against him. But not to let sin go unconfessed in my life. And we need not to let sin go unconfessed, because we'll be like Peter. We'll go out and we'll weep bitterly. We'll have that godly sorrow. And later on in the latter chapter verses here, we can see Peter, as Jesus Christ says, he tells Peter, says Peter told him three times to go feed my sheep. I believe this fellowship between Peter and the Lord Jesus Christ was restored. And sweet fellowship and communion again was brought back to Peter. The trespass offering is for sins of ignorance. It's for secret sins and sins as touching unclean things, as false swearing and things like that. And the trespass offering covers everyone. It covered the rich and it covered the poor. And the sacrifice of a lamb, I believe, which talks about Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God. The rich were to bring a lamb, or anybody that could afford one would bring a lamb. But the middle class people, if you didn't have a whole lot of money, and you didn't have a whole lot of herds, or you didn't have a whole lot of anything, then you would bring two turtle doves. And I believe that these turtle doves talks about Jesus Christ, or two young pigeons, talks about his meekness and his innocence as he went to the cross of Calvary. And the poorest of the poor, if they couldn't afford two turtle doves, or if they couldn't afford a lamb for a sacrifice, they would bring a meat offering or a meal offering, a flying flyer. It was an omer, or I don't know exactly how much an omer is, but a handful was to be burnt, and the priest was to have the rest of this the meat offering. So this is what Jesus Christ typifies. Jesus Christ, the trespass offering, has him making provisions for our sins. Jesus Christ, as the believer's great high priest, takes a confession and brings it before the Father. So as we sin, and as we come back to God and we confess that sin, Jesus Christ takes that confession and he presents it unto the Father. And there complete restitution is made, there complete fulfillment and complete defilement is all taken away, and we're completely restored unto the service of God. The Bible says that he is faithful and just to forgive. When we are forgiven, then of course we're cleansed and purged from our sins and restored unto God. Back in Leviticus, the 6th chapter, and the first two verses. And the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor, and that which was delivered him to keep, or in fellowship, or in a thing taken away by violence, or hath deceived his neighbor. Now then it goes on to tell all these things that sins that you can do, what you must do. But what I wanted you to see there was, if a soul sin and commit a trespass against the Lord and lie unto his neighbor. Now, how many times does a child of God sin against another child of God? How many times do we lie, or how many times do we try to tear down a witness, or just destroy a person by lying against him or gossiping against a person? And when you gossip against this person, you're not only gossiping against him, you're talking about God, because he is the Son of God and he is part of him. In these things, the Lord looks upon it as a sin against himself. You not only sin against the man, but you sin against against God. Paul there, when he was up on the Damascus Road, and that great light shone down from heaven, and the Lord Jesus Christ cried out there, says, Paul says, why persecutest thou me? Now, Paul was persecuting the church there, and he was on his way there to take the Christians and commit them unto prison. But the Lord stopped him and said, Paul says, why persecutest thou me? Paul was persecuting the church, and Jesus Christ says, why persecutest thou me? Because the church is part of Jesus Christ. It's part of his body. So when we talk about someone, when we sin against another Christian, we're not only talking about ourselves, or we not only hurt ourselves, we're talking about God. We're talking about the one who saved us and died for us and gave his life for us. If I said that Brother Makita, I saw him come out of a bar and he was drunk as a dog or drunk as a skunk, and he wasn't, well, that's a lie against him. I'm not only bothering him, I'm bothering myself because he is part of this body. And he's part of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'm not only talking about him, I'm talking about God. So we need to be careful what we say about our brothers and sisters. And we need to, this thing of gossip, we need to edify, not tear down. We need to build up and admonish our brothers and sisters in Christ, because we are all on the same body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do this, we must confess this sin. We must come to God and confess our sins because we have lied or did something to our brother. And one thing I don't ever want to be is to be a stumbling block. I don't ever want to be a stumbling block to one of my brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul said, if meat calls me a defense, I won't eat meat. So I don't want to be a stumbling block to anybody. I want to be of service, and I want to be of help. I don't want to put something in somebody's way to hurt them spiritually. I want to be a help to them. Talking about confession, you don't have to come before the church to bring your confession. All you have to do is just lift your eyes to God and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of that sin where I've sinned against you. And God will forgive us. Now, we can go over in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew, the 6th chapter, and the 14th and 15th verses, when the people there asked him to teach them to pray, and he says, and if you forgive men their trespasses, in the 14th verse, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. So we need to forgive men when they trespass against us. And surely they'll forgive us when we trespass against them. Because the Bible said, if you forgive men not their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive you your trespasses. So if you don't forgive them, or they don't forgive you, then God's not going to forgive them. So we need to take this to heart. A lot of things we need to learn is to confess our sins to God and go on and and live for him and serve him and do the things that he asked us to do. So you can see that the trespass offering here has to do with Christ making provisions for our sins and for our trespasses. And just to go back over we haven't got just a second or two, the sin offering, which talks about Jesus Christ and giving himself as an offering and a sacrifice unto God for men for sin. So Jesus Christ gave himself for us for our sin. The peace offering is a picture of a reconciliation. Jesus Christ says, be ye reconciled unto me. He was reconciling a poor lost sinner unto a holy God. The meat offering is a type of Christ presenting himself to God as man's meat. I believe we go back in the Gospel of John or for the heavenly manna, which talks about Jesus Christ. The burnt offering portrays Christ as giving himself in death wholly unto God. And in the burnt offering, God got all, and all went unto God, and all was burnt on the altar. Everything in the burnt offering was burnt on the altar. So you can see when we first started teaching of the tabernacle, we started with the Ark of the Covenant. And the Ark of the Covenant talked about, I believe, God's throne and how the cherubim was up on top of the Ark of the Covenant. Talked about all his power and how the manna and Aaron's rod had budded and the law was put in the ark, and this was a type of God's throne, and this is where God meets and dwells with his people. And then we end up with God. In the five offerings here, we started with God and we end up with God. And this tells me one thing, that everything that we do and everything we say, Lord, we need to look to God and say, Lord, thank you. And I do thank the Lord from the bottom of my heart for him giving me the opportunity and a time where I can study, and a people where I can teach it to. And like I say, I have learned a little from this, and I have to thank God for what I've learned. And I believe that I know I'm stronger in the Lord, because like I said when I started, I didn't know exactly what the book of Leviticus was, or Exodus, and all these books. And I really still don't know the depths of them, but I do know the basic meanings of them now, that they all point forward to Jesus Christ. So I'm thankful for this, and I'm thankful that y'all came to listen to me try to teach. Hope I've been a blessing to you, because you sure have been a blessing to me just becoming. And I sure appreciate it. I really do. Because now I can, the Lord sees fit maybe to lead me into something else and go into something else. But I'm sure thankful that I studied this. I remember Brother Al saying months and months ago that he wished that somebody, when he was teaching our class upstairs, he said he wished somebody would take the tabernacle and teaching. And the Lord put it up on my heart, and I began to think about that and said, well, why not? Bob, you sure can learn a bundle from that, and I have. I have to give God all the honor and the glory and the praise in thanking Him for what He has let me learn. So this is the teaching of the tabernacle. And all points forward to Jesus Christ. And one day, we're going to sit up there with God, or we're going to come back down here in the New Jerusalem, and there we're going to dwell with Him throughout all eternity. One great day that's never going to end, beginning of a day, and a day that's never going to end, and He's going to be the light thereof, no sun, no moon. So we're all going to sit around, and I don't know, maybe in some way or another, God is going to reveal all the depths of these things to us. I don't know whether it will or not. I don't know exactly what we're going to do in heaven, but I do know one thing. I'm like Brother Al. We're going to worship Him and praise Him throughout all eternity. And so I'm thankful for this, and let's be dismissed. Our Father in heaven, Lord, as we come before Thy throne of grace, Lord, we come thanking You for the blessings of the day. Lord, we thanking You for what wisdom and knowledge that Thou has given us. And Lord, we pray that we have exalted You and lifted up Your holy name. And Lord, we're thankful for Jesus Christ, that He was our sin offering, our trespass offering, a burnt offering, peace offering, meal offering. Lord, we thank You for these, that Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for us. Lord, help us to remember these things, that we'll never forget them. And Lord, as we go our ways out into the world, that we can go back and remember these things and witness to people, and we can lead people to Christ by the teachings of Thy Word and in these Levitical offerings, and how Jesus Christ gave Himself for the lost, if they would only put their faith and trust in Him and look forward to Him. Help us, Lord, to be witnesses for You, and help us, Lord, to be soul winners. Lord, we know we failed You in many ways, and one way that we can see that we are failing You is not by bringing lost souls to You and being a soul winner. And Lord, we ask Thy help, and we ask for Thy power, Lord, that we may go out witnessing for You with Thy Holy Spirit in our heart and tell them the truths of the Lord Jesus Christ and get them to come into Thy house. Lord, bless our pastor tonight as he stands before us. Give him the wisdom and knowledge, Lord, that You would have him to have. Save even the lost that be here this night, Father, if it be in accordance to Your will. Watch over us now and take charge of the remainder of the services and forgive us of our many sins. For it's in Jesus' name we pray and for His sake. Amen.
This is the end of the teaching on the tabernacle brought forth by Bobby Stennett from the Bryan Station Independent Missionary Baptist Church, Rural Route 4, Lexington, Kentucky, 40505. And these tapes have been produced by the tape minister from the Bryan Station New Testament Baptist Church.